Welcome back to In the Moment. Jill Borman joins the SDSU Speaker Series with the lecture, A Mind-Body Spiritual Stress Buster, Would You Like One? That's tonight at 7 p.m. at SDSU's University Student Union. She's a research health scientist and clinical nurse specialist in adult psychiatric mental health nursing. She's one of the experts in the field and is originally from South Dakota. She currently lives in San Diego, but she's with me right now in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Let's start with a little bit of your journey, because it's an interesting area to sort of research. How did you wind up finding an interest in this area?
Well, I've always been interested in spirituality and health. And I moved to San Diego about 1984, and during that time I was looking for a type of daily practice that I could do, a type of meditation. Mm-hmm. And someone introduced me to this spiritual teacher, Eknath Eshwaran, and we were working with patients that had HIV and AIDS. And if you think back to when people were first diagnosed with HIV and AIDS, there were no meds, people were dying, and that kind of thing. And so I learned about this 8-point program from this spiritual teacher, and of the 8 points, one of them was to sit quietly and do passage meditation. The other ones were mantra repetition, slowing down, one-pointed attention, training the senses, putting others first, spiritual reading, and spiritual fellowship. So it's a comprehensive spiritual program.
Right.
And I began practicing those tools and finding them to be extremely helpful for me. And then we decided to take those tools and adapt them for patients with HIV and AIDS. Now, what I found, though, is that we were emphasizing the daily sitting meditation, close your eyes, sit quietly, repeat passages. But what I found out is these patients would come to me later and say, you know, I don't meditate anymore. And they kind of be, you know, embarrassed and say, you know, I don't meditate anymore, but I use my mantra. And they said that over and over again. And they said, it works for me. It works for me when I go to sleep and I can't sleep. It works when I get anxious and I'm going to get my viral load, you know, my T cell count. And so I thought, if that's something that people can do, then let's not teach the meditation. Let's go with this mantra repetition and teach people to use that.
To bring everybody along, a mantra, not a mantra, a mantra, spelled the same way almost. What is it?
Yeah, what is it? What is a mantra? Well, first of all, the word mantra and mantram come from the same Sanskrit root word, which has to do with manas, meaning the mind, and tra, to cross over. So the idea of a mantram is it's usually a spiritual word or phrase that helps you to calm the mind or gives you something to focus on. So the definition of a mantram, according to Eknath Eshwaran, is a spiritual formula for transformation. That's kind of a lofty, definition. We can also call it just a rapid focus tool, or a pause button for the mind.
Right.
And so it's a word or phrase that usually comes from one of the major spiritual traditions. It could be, you know, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism. Usually most of these words come from some ancient wisdom tradition. But a person doesn't have to be religious or spiritual to benefit from them.
And it doesn't have to be necessarily your tradition, although that might be where you're the most comfortable, and that might resonate with you, but it wouldn't necessarily have to be. Why these ancient words?
Well, apparently, these words have been discovered. They've been in existence, and they've been discovered throughout history. And if you looked at history and looked at all the major cultures and wisdom traditions, it's very interesting to note that human beings have learned that by repeating certain words and phrases, that they find that to be nourishing, calming, and soothing. And it's, you know, there's a lot of different traditions where there's chanting out loud, different kinds of repetition. And recently, they've done a study looking at brain imaging and have found that repetition of words actually elicits the relaxation response. So the idea that when you're focused attention on one thing, it's sort of like your brain focuses on that and the rest of your brain can kind of quiet down and relax. So it's really interesting. We've got research evidence that verifies these findings.
I want to talk about that research in a moment, but I'm wondering, how do you get people to sort of enter, you know, the process? It's, do you start when you're stressed out? Do you start, when you're calm, right? Just sort of saying this phrase, and why is that?
Well, there's a couple of ways to define that and describe that. First of all, when we introduce this to people, I always say, put your skepticism aside for a little while, give it a try. And the idea is that these words and phrases, they have a, what I call a divine charge or a divine spark. Mm-hmm. And so they resonate with people. And as you focus your attention, it just kind of helps you calm.
Right. So, and you start out when it's calm, and then do you switch your mantra? Is it the same one for your whole life?
Yeah.
I mean, will you pick it and it's yours? Or can you just change your mind?
No, we recommend that you do a test drive.
Okay.
And you try a different words and phrases, and just see how they feel to you. You don't have to choose something from your upbringing or your faith or your background. You can choose anything. Mm. And what's important is to choose something that may be kind of unfamiliar to you.
Okay.
Because you don't have to think about the meaning of the word or phrase. So let me give you an example. A person might choose the word shalom, which means peace, or om shanti, which in, I believe that's in Hinduism, it means peace. So some people say, why can't I just repeat the word peace over and over? Well, that's because we have so many associations. So if we think about what's peaceful, what comes to my mind is the little dove with the olive branch or the peace sign. And so those are distractions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So by using something that's been handed down in traditional and something that also may have a certain vibration, you know, often you can get into the chakras and the auras and those kind of things. There's a belief that those words have more power.
Right. So you set out to do some research about this, and I was reading through this study, or one of the studies, I guess, I don't know how many there are, but I was reading through one of them where you worked with veterans in San Diego, and how hard was it to get support when you talk about words with a divine spark, and then you pair veterans with PTSD from maybe a combat or, you know, some kind of trauma? How hard was it to get other people behind the fact, like, this is, we need to study this to find out what's behind it, and what are the best practices?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question, and it's been a journey.
Yeah,
I started this work in the year 2000, and at that time, there was not much funding for complementary therapies. There's, you know, separation of church and state, so you got to be careful with that. And I approached it from two different angles, really. One, just from the scientific perspective, stimulus, response, what goes on psychologically and physiologically with the stress response, and try to approach people from the scientific point of view. But then I also share the idea that our philosophy of the program is that we're human beings. We have a mind, a body, and a spirit. If we can calm our minds, we can tap into that spirit and spiritual resources. And what I mean by that are things that we all experience as human beings. You know, whether you call them spiritual or not.
Right.
Spiritual resources, things like joy, love, peace, kindness, goodness, wellness, and those types of things. So in terms of working with veterans, oftentimes I would, again, tell them, set your skepticism aside.
Right.
Pick one of these words and phrases. Use it when you're not stressed out. Use it when you're calm. Use it before you fall asleep at night so you can create a mind-body physiological connection with that word or phrase. And then when something stressful happens, because you've practiced it when you're calm, you begin initiating it when you're stressed, and it has that same calming effect.
Right. And what did you find out with this study? What were the conclusions?
Oh, man, it was amazing. Again, you do a study because you are trying to see if what your anecdotal stories, things that people tell you, can be tested empirically. And so we did find that with post-traumatic stress disorder, that this level and severity of symptoms was substantially reduced in those veterans. And the two primary findings were reductions in hyperarousal, which is a component. It's that irritability. Mm-hmm. When a person has post-traumatic stress, they're on edge and they're like cautious and they are, you know, get startled. And it helped them calm down. They would constantly say, oh, saying my mantra helps me calm down. Help them with road rage.
Right.
And they're driving along and somebody cuts in front of them and they get angry. And it would they'd say their mantra and they help them calm down. The other major finding has to do with insomnia. And believe it or not, according to research, most veterans that are seeking care for symptoms will seek care for insomnia, not realizing that they have PTSD also. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people will come and, you know, PTSD has a stigma to some extent. It's like, you know, considered a sort of a mental health issue. And so, you know, coming and saying I have insomnia is a much easier, more palatable problem. But mantra repetition helps these veterans manage hyperarousal, irritability. Sometimes it helps them with avoidance, which is another common component of PTSD. Therefore, it also helped them with relationships and dealing with family and friends and those kind of things. But our scientific research really showed reductions in symptom severity and insomnia.
Yeah. I was reading some of the, you know, quotations from the, you know, as a non-scientist, I'm drawn to the individual stories that veterans were telling. And one of them struck me as he was saying it basically helped him or her get out of bed in the morning, waking up with that just feeling of dread, and then using the mantra and then saying, okay, I can face the day. It just took away that physical intensity that you wake up with like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you think of what an impact that makes on someone's life when that's the first feeling they have. And it might have even been a fitful night's sleep or some dreams about, you know, the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And waking up and just feeling I can't face it, and then having a tool without even getting out of bed to help calm that. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah. Not only is it powerful, but it's so practical. It's so doable. This is something that we all can be doing anytime during the day, while we're waiting for the stop sign, while we're waiting for an elevator. You use your mantra at times when you, quote, don't need it, mm-hmm. unquote, so that it's right there in the back of your mind when something happens that does distress you.
Yeah. How long does it take to really practice before you start sort of seeing the potential impact in your own life?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. It's kind of different for everyone. Yeah. I have seen people that have picked a mantra and within 1 week, they've come back and say, oh, it helped me with my insomnia. It's helped me, you know, almost immediately.
Right.
At the same token, there are other people that don't see an effect for sometimes a month and sometimes longer. But it kind of depends on how frequently they're actually practicing it. So, and sometimes we forget, you know, we have a mantra and you might go through a whole day or even a couple of days and not even think of it once.
Yeah.
So we give people tips like put a sticky note by your radio before or your alarm clock before you go to bed, or by your smartphone if you use that for an alarm, and to help remind you to practice it.
Is this something you use in your own life? And if so, how has it sort of changed how you interact with the world on a daily basis?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. And it kind of touches me deeply, because this program has really changed my life for the better. I started with a meditation also and felt like that was the core of the program. But now, since I've seen such wonderful results with other people and with my mantra has become like an old friend. And it helps me to feel deep inside that everything will be okay. And I do have a faith background, and so I feel connected to that inner, you know, my inner spiritual faith. And so for me, it's been a lifeline. And Gandhi, his mantra, which was Rama, Rama, is an invocation to joy. He talked about it as being his staff of life, that it kept him through every ordeal.
This is has been so fascinating also because it's something I haven't heard of before. And, you know, you hear a lot of different things. So this is new and it's interesting. You can learn more from Jill Borman tonight at South Dakota State University. And the talk is called A Mind-Body Spiritual Stress Buster. Would you like one? It's tonight at 7 at the University Student Union. Thank you so much. Welcome home in some ways to South Dakota. And we hope you enjoy your time here. We look forward to hearing you tonight.
Thank you. It's great to be back in South Dakota.